there are now 1,676 male asylum seekers without an offer of state accommodation, according to the latest figures from the Department of Integration. This week, 127 new international protection applicants presented at the IPAS headquarters on Dublin's Mount Street, where steel fences have been erected to prevent any further tents being set up. The Taoiseach has insisted efforts are being made in difficult and challenging circumstances to provide accommodation to asylum seekers. Simon Harris made the remarks after a number of international protection applicants were forced to sleep in tents on the grounds of a Dublin church last night, as no state accommodation was offered to the men. The Taoiseach joins us now on the line from Belfast, where he's been meeting the First and Deputy First Ministers in the Stormont Executive and the Northern Ireland political party leaders. Taoiseach, you're very welcome to the programme. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you so much, Brian.
These flows of people coming into this jurisdiction through Northern Ireland from Britain, Helen McEntee believes it represents something of the order of 80% of people who are presenting for international protection. Is that something the government expects to continue as long as this British government Rwanda policy remains in place?
It's very hard to ever be categoric in relation to this, but what I've learned about migration over the last number of months is that you have to be agile in your response. Over the last period of time, a lot of people were focusing on the airports and the number of people coming through the airports and asking government to do more in relation to that. And we did in relation to cracking down on people arriving without documentation, making sure there were more guarded checks at the foots of planes and the likes. But now what we're actually seeing in the International Protection Office is a very significant number of people who turn up telling people through interviews that they had originally been in Britain. And I think it's important that the minister put that information out there so that we can consider what are the best policy responses. And I think truthfully the best policy responses are to continue to work closely with the UK, work closely with Northern Ireland, and for the PSNI and the Gardaí to cooperate and collaborate on this issue, as they often do.
We also know, Taoiseach, though, from documents released by the Department of Justice, that officials in that department were warning Helen McEntee back in 2022 of just this possibility, the likelihood of increased numbers of people leaving Britain, coming through Northern Ireland because of this Rwanda policy, which was being mooted at that stage. Now, why wasn't more done at that point in 2022 to prepare for this eventuality?
Well, just because issues are warned of doesn't mean you can prevent those issues happening. I think a number of actions have been taken. And in many ways, it's somewhat regrettable that the focus has been on one piece of legislation that is not unimportant, but isn't the most significant thing the minister is doing. The most important thing Helen McEntee has done is faster processing times. And I actually think the action that she has taken in recent weeks regarding Nigeria will see real and positive benefits in people who come to Ireland, wherever they have originally been, whether it's Britain or somewhere else, getting an answer much more quickly as to whether they have a right to be here, and if they do, they should be integrated, or whether they don't have a right to be here, and if they don't, they should leave.
But part of the government's response is that legislation to fast-track deportations back to the UK. Now, why wasn't that legislation being prepared and being put in place well ahead of where we are now?
So this issue only arose in March, and there were already agreements in place and protocols in place in terms of how the transfer of migrants from either the UK to Ireland or Ireland to the UK could take place. And in March, our High Court, so in fairness, it has nothing to do with Britain. In March, our High Court found that the legal basis for that needed to be improved and needed to be legislated for. That was only March. Today is the early days of May, and the intention is to have that legislation enacted by the end of May.
Right. And just a final question in relation to this internal Department of Justice memo. Was this something that you were aware of, that you've been alerted to, this possibility during the period you were standing in for Helen McEntee as minister?
I'm not sure specifically whether I was aware of any particular memo, but what I was definitely aware of, and I think what anybody in government and opposition would be aware of, is we're living through a major, major humanitarian crises across many parts of the world, where we're seeing a very significant number of people on the move. And any government has to be agile and flexible in how it responds. And certainly during my brief time as Minister for Justice, but during my time in government and during Minister McEntee's time, every day we're looking at what more we can do to respond to those situations, both from a humanitarian point of view, to help people, vulnerable people, because migration is a good thing and immigration is a good thing, but also to make sure we have a firm rules-based system. And I'm very proud of the record that we have in terms of that, but I'm also very conscious that it's a dynamic situation that requires new effort every single day. Irish people are very fair, they're full of common sense, but they want to know that there's a system that is firm and rules-based, and that the rules are applied. And that's now my focus as Taoiseach. to make sure we live in a country of laws and laws are applied without fear or favour.
Is there a place for closer cooperation north-south in relation to this migrant issue? You've been meeting political leaders there in Stormont today.
I think there certainly is. I'm very conscious that immigration policy is a reserve function for the British government. But collaboration between the PSNI and the An Garda Síochána is extremely important. Minister McEntee has freed up about 100 Gardaí from desk duties. That's not about border checks or any sort of that nonsense that I read about in some elements of the British media in recent days. But what it is about is ensuring that our Gardaí can continue to cooperate and collaborate with the PSNI, which, quite frankly, is something they're very good at and something that is longstanding. If I can just say about the visit here today, I do want to say I'm really encouraged to be in Stormont today in a building and an institution that is now working. I've had excellent meetings with the First Minister, the Deputy First Minister, the political parties in Northern Ireland. And what I really get is that strong sense of everybody now trying to make progress on a number of the big issues that face people in Northern Ireland, many of which impact people right across the island of Ireland. And I wanted to be here in my first 3 weeks as Taoiseach to absolutely recommit to the Irish government to doing everything we can to help, whether that's helping with the A5, whether it's helping with issues in Loch Ney regarding water quality, and really helping embed peace and prosperity across the island.
Taoiseach, before I let you go, perhaps a word about the protest that was staged outside your family home in Greystones last night. You described today how your children were being put to bed at the time. What can be done to try to stop these protests at politicians' homes?
Yeah, so look, I don't particularly like talking about this because, you know, whether it's my home, whether it's the home of the leader of the opposition or anybody, I have a very clear view that it's inappropriate. I don't mean to be rude in saying this. I irk when I even hear it described as protest, because to me it's not protest and we shouldn't in any way seek to normalise this. It is behaviour that can be intimidating, it can be deeply upsetting, and I think it's important that people's families and people's homes are always out of bounds. Now, there are laws, and those laws, we recently asked the Gardaí, were the laws adequate in terms of being able to protect people, their families and their homes? The Gardaí have responded that they are. So therefore, I think we need to continue to support the Gardaí in making sure that action, no matter whose home it is taken, because nobody's family deserves to experience that.
All right, we'll leave it there.
Before I let you go, Brian, can I just say, because I know you'll hate this, which is why I said it at the end of the interview, but I am very conscious it's your final day. I'm very conscious that you've been broadcasting it's probably before I was born. I'm very conscious that you represent the very best of public service broadcasting. You've been a brilliant, robust interviewer, always robust, always thorough, but always fair and decent. And I really just, on behalf of the people of Ireland today, I really just want to thank you for your public service and wish you and your family all the very best.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Taoiseach. I very much appreciate that. As you say, I'm probably broadcasting here on RT as long as you've been around 37 years, which I think is...
Bang on.
Yeah. But thank you for coming on the programme today. And thank you, and indeed, thank those from all political strands and all parties and all sides of politics for coming on programmes that I've been involved in over the years. It's been very important that people in positions of power like yourself, people who we elect to govern us, make themselves accountable on programmes like this, and that's an important part of our democracy and something I've been proud to have been a small part of.
A big part. Thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you indeed. Taoiseach Simon Harris there speaking to us from Belfast.